Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. The Netflix drama 13 Reasons Why, about a high school girl who commits suicide, has generated both praise and criticism. This week, we'll talk to a mental health professional about what the show gets right and what it gets wrong.
The reality of it is, we don't know these actors, but we feel like we do, and then one of them kills himself, and now it's somehow okay that that's an answer for their solution.
That's John Huber. He's a clinical forensic psychologist in Austin, Texas. 13 Reasons Why and Teen Suicide on this week's American Cafe.
Hey, it's Hannah Baker. There's not a simple explanation for the things that I feel. That's right. Don't adjust your whatever device you're hearing this on. There's no one word to tell you why I do the things that it's me, live and in stereo. No return engagements, no encore, and this time absolutely no requests. Get a snack, settle in, because I'm about to tell you the story of my life.
The Netflix drama 13 Reasons Why takes viewers on a journey through why a young woman, Hannah Baker, commits suicide. The show was originally supposed to be a movie starring pop singer Selena Gomez, but was eventually turned into an episodic drama for Netflix. Gomez helped produce the drama, which uses a series of tapes and flashbacks to events that led Hannah Baker to take her own life. The show has generated controversy here in the United States, with some school districts recommending parents not allow teens to watch it. However, it has been extremely popular. Netflix recently announced it would renew the show for a second season. Jay Asher's original 2007 novel, on which the show is based, has shot up the bestseller list. But is it realistic? Well, to discuss the show, I spoke with John Huber, a clinical forensic psychologist in Austin, Texas. He told me the drama got some things right, but also missed many opportunities.
Well, I think if their goal is to get people to talk about suicide, they have definitely done that. I don't think that they do a good enough job. For example, they show teenagers or whoever's watching the show all these things not to do, but they never once should tell you what you should do to help a friend, or if you're in that case, the person who may be contemplating suicide. They never show you what to do. And that is very problematic for me as a psychologist. I'm concerned with that. And they treat it much like a fantasy. However, they never resolve it. I mean, and neither does suicide. Suicide does not resolve any situation, and that bothers me as well.
Now, the main character, Hannah, in this show goes through a series of traumas. All of these add up to her deciding to take her own life. But the tragic character in this is not only Hannah, but also Clay, the character through whose eyes we're kind of told this story, isn't it?
I think so. The whole, you know, oversimplification though of suicide, I think would have been served much better if we'd have known who Hannah was before all this stuff happened, and we got to know her that way, and then we saw these changes. And Clay definitely is feeling the brunt of everything, but you know, it's almost like revenge gone wrong. He kind of helps tell the story, but we don't really see how it affects him. Does he change? Does he act different in the future? Does he help other people? So again, it's kind of a lot of empty calories.
And there are a series of steps that, I mean, we've been to high school. High school, it can be cruel. People
yes,
say
very.
Things. But now, in the age of, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and, you know, Instagram and all these other apps on people's phones, and with almost everybody in society could be thought of as having a camera. How does that discussion play into the discussion about teen suicide, and particularly like cyberbullying, and how Hannah in this story becomes the victim of, you know, a lot of these things being circulated that in our generation wouldn't have been even considered?
Well, in our generation, you know, we had our diaries that had the little toy locks on them, and we'd forbid anybody from ever reading them. And this has evolved into social media, where we want everybody to see everything, and that makes us very fragile and open for this type of bullying. And we, as you know, human beings, we're resilient and we're going to adapt. But individuals within this situation have a hard time dealing with that. And Hannah's an example. But the idea, I think you're exactly right. I mean, anybody over the age of 12 pretty much has a phone with a camera on it. And we're basically 1984, only Big Brother is us.
Have you seen whether this has opened discussion between parents and their teens? Because it's very popular with young people. The show on Netflix is extremely popular with that age group. How have you seen parents trying to discuss the subject matter with their kids?
Well, it's very difficult for parents to discuss this. A lot of them don't even understand it themselves. And I think the majority of kids that are watching it without their parents knowing it. Again, you have a smartphone and you got Netflix right there on your phone, and you don't have to be home to watch it. But my parents, the parents that come in with their kids to my practice, you know, we talk specifically about it and things they can do and discuss with their children, warning signs to not only look for in their child, but to share with their child, so that if they see friends who are going through some of these warning signs, that they can, you know, wave their hand at mom and dad and say, hey, you know, I think Billy over here needs some attention. You know, some of the stuff you warned me about, he's doing. And one of the other problems I think that needs addressed is none of the professionals in the series are very professional. They're very inadequate. I don't know any professionals that I work with who would have done the things they did, if that makes sense. And I think it's a poor representation of what we've got with mental health in our society.
Now, for both parents and for teens, what are some specific things people should look for?
Well, you know, as something as insignificant as talking or joking about dying or even suicide directly, if they start making kind of preparations for death, even though it's not overt, they start giving away significant possessions or talking about things. Oh, you know, my dog just loves you, so if something ever to happen to me, you get my dog. And they start assigning gifts to people if something were to happen to me. Also, I look at people who have family members who have committed suicide. That tends to make it acceptable within the family ranks. That's one of the reasons why I'm personally shocked at the show and how graphic they get into it, because we get attached to characters. TV is a very powerful medium, and you start to feel like you know them. And the reality of it is, we don't know these actors, but we feel like we do. And then one of them kills himself, and now it's somehow okay that that's an answer for their solution. So I look at that. Then I start looking at individuals and their behavior. Do they start to all of a sudden isolate themselves from things they previously enjoyed doing? Do they seem to have low energy now and they lack interest in things that they previously liked to do? If they are in a position to have access to alcohol or drugs, are they now experimenting or maybe just using all the time those things and doing uncharacteristically risky activities for themselves? That kind of impulsive behavior. Then you couple that with some simple things like feelings of hopelessness, talking about their life has no meaning, purposelessness, and in general, low self-esteem starts coming through. Those can all be warning signs, and I would be very concerned about that. Again, so that's one of my issues with the show. There was a lot of things that they just missed. They could have taken advantage of, and they didn't do it.
That's John Huber, a clinical forensic psychologist in Texas. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that suicide is the second leading killer of young people aged 15 to 24 here in the United States. The World Health Organization says that teen suicide is not just an American problem. In 2015, suicide and accidental death from self-harm were the third highest cause of teen deaths worldwide. So what do you think? Let us know your opinion about this show or any other of our shows by visiting our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. Until next time, I'm David Byrd. Thanks for listening.